Okay, so this is from the Emunah Tzitacha from Moshe Wolfson on Purim. Everyone has? Okay, we'll start from the beginning. It's shorter pieces. Last year we did a much lengthier piece called Igaras HaPurim. This is shorter pieces, different styles. You'll see very quickly why we love Rav Wolfson so much. But he begins, Mishenichlas Adar Marim B'Simcha. It's Rosh Chodesh, tomorrow's Aleph Adar. We know Mishenichlas Adar Marbin B'Simcha, Perish Rashi, Yimei Nisim LiYisrael, Purim U'Pesach. What's the celebration of Adar? It's times of miracles, Purim and Pesach. Purim and Pesach. What does it have to do Mishenichlas Adar? Pesach is Nisan. Mashma Sheyes Sheiches Bein Shnei HaChadashim Ha'Ela. Look how he picks up on a little Rashi like this, and he turns it into a whole beautiful explanation of the entirety of Adar and Nisan. He says, apparently there must be some link between these 2 months. Va'adin nosin. And logic dictates that it should be so. She'nisan tchilas hashana va'adar achris hashana. Nisan is the beginning of the calendar year, and Adar is the end of the calendar year. V'chol davar shebekedusha na'ot sofo b'tchilaso v'inyan echad lahem. This is a powerful idea to think about in general, that whenever we talk about a matter of Kedusha, the beginning and the end are deeply connected. That's the reason when we finish reading the Torah, we immediately go back to the beginning of the Torah. We always try to link, if you have a bracha, if you have a bracha that's a longer bracha, so it starts with a certain theme, and then it returns at the end to that theme. So whenever you have a davar shebe kedusha, we always try to make this circle, so to speak, of linking the beginning to the end and the end to the beginning. V'chein mismach ge'ula le'ge'ula. And like the Gemara says, an obvious link between Adar and Nisan is that they're both times of ge'ula. The Gula from Mitzrayim and the Gula from the second of the four exiles of Jewish history. Va'inyan yira b'siyata d'shemayah, the zembavur b'svar. D'neis yitzias Mitzrayim hayim hashpas midas ha-chesed. What do we know about the miracle of Mitzrayim? It was unbelievable chesed. Were we worthy of leaving Mitzrayim? 49th level of Tumah. Ki Yisrael lo hayi ru'uyim l'tzeis el Hashem Yisbarach b'racham av hotziyam kedei shelo yishku'u b'nun sharei Tumah. The Jewish people were about to rot. Once you hit level 50, then the seed rots to a point that it will not recover. They're about to die. They're about to fall into the 50th level of Tumah. On the 49th level of Tumah, rotting in Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite kindness, came down and scooped us out of Mitzrayim. V'yadua shemidas ha-chesed hu is arusa de la'ela. What does that mean? Chesed is, what do the words literally mean? Is arusa de la'ela. Arousal, dileila, from above. So we didn't do anything to get out of Mitzrayim. Okay, we know we kept their names, and they kept their language, did a couple little things, and we didn't have any mitzvah, so we had maybe dumb Mila and dumb Pesach to get things going. Okay, a little bit maybe we had, and that's a Pesach question that we have to deal with. Did they have merits? Did they not have merits? But the Pashup Shot is we were basically down and out. The Chayin Ksiv Kel Motzi'am Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says that Kel, Aleph Lamed, took them out from Mitzrayim. Ki Shem Zehu Chesed Pashut Ki Adua B'li Isarusa Delatata Klal. The name Kel, Shem has many different names, they correspond to different spheros. Kel is the name of God that corresponds to Chesed, Chesed Pashut, simple kindness, where man has done nothing of his own. That Hashem just comes to the rescue when we're totally broken, and Hashem in His kindness plucks us out of Mitzrayim. So how does Purim relate to that? Where do we see a similar idea by Purim? Gam Purim Ashpa Aso Mimidas HaChesed. Purim also is a time of tremendous chesed. The Jewish people were not in a great place. The fact that we're called Yehudim in the Purim story, Yehudi, again, the Gemara says Yehudi is a term that we use for a Jew who's simply kofer b'avodah zar. Meaning the extent of my religiosity is just I don't worship idols. Even that was questionable because they're bowing down to Hamun, the Gemara says, made himself an Avodah Zarah. Or maybe wearing an Avodah Zarah around his neck. So they were in a really bad place. Like, Hudim Haisa Ora, Vesimcha, Vesasan Vikar, they got back Torah, they got back Bris Milah, they didn't have those things. They weren't wearing tefillin. They didn't have Bris Milah. They weren't learning Torah. Boker Tov Reb Yaakov. So now, on Purim, we were in a really, really bad place, like we were in Mitzrayim. Kid Isa B'Sefer Resise Laila. As it says in the Sefer Resise Laila, who wrote Resise Laila? Tzadok. Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. She'ein tzarech lekedushas Yisrael, sherei mitzvaso b'shichrus, she'ein makum l'shtadlus. How do you see that on Purim? How do we, so to speak, recreate sort of the hefkeris that was in the times of the Purim story. We also, they were people who were not thinking, they were not connected, they were not engaged. So too, on Purim, the mitzvah is drunkenness, where a person relinquishes his ishtadlus, you stop putting in your own effort, you become passive, so to speak, in the process, and that's very much similar to the experience of Purim. It's very much similar to the experience of Mitzrayim, where we didn't have anything of our own. Purim revolves around lotteries. A lottery is not something that you know, my brother's convinced that he's going to win the lottery. But most people, when they buy a lottery ticket, they don't spend their whole life being sure that they're going to win. He didn't do it yet, so we'll see. Josh. We'll see. I'm actually convinced he'll do it also. He's like the type of guy who will say something like that and make it happen. Right? But most people, you buy a lottery ticket, you're saying, bittel hishtadlus. You know, my hishtadlus, what I put a dollar in, I bought a lottery ticket. That's not hishtadlus. So on Purim also, there's no hishtadlus. On Purim, there's shichrus. There's a lack of das. Ad lo yada. Ad kan tochen dvar of hakadoshim. That's what Rav Tzadok develops in the Rasisei Laila. That again, that we, so to speak, collapse into Hashem's hands, and we don't have our own efforts. So he says in the bottom paragraph, "Uvezeyuvan mazel Adar dagim." What is the horoscope? What is the astrological sign for the month of Adar? Fish. Ki dagim yinikasan min amayim, because fish live and draw their sustenance and are sustained by water. The hainu hachasadim kanoda. Mayim always alludes to chesed. Mayim always alludes to chesed. So this is a month of fish. This is a month of unbelievable chesed. We were not worthy. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us. V'chein isa b'sefer ha-zohar, as quoted by the Siddur Shlah, sha'ashiva kolos sheba mizmor le'david, right, that we sing Friday night in Kabbalah Shabbos, havu v'gomer, heim k'neged shiva sviros. The seven expressions, havu this, havu that, Kol Hashem this, Kol Hashem that, right? Each of those expressions corresponds to a different one of the spheros. And the first one is what? Kol Hashem al Hamayim, which corresponds to the first of the lower seven spheros, Chesed. So Mayim is Chesed, the world of fish is a world of Chesed. Therefore he says in the top of the left column, therefore we find Uperek Shira Isa, Dagim Shebayam Omrim Kol Hashem al Hamayim. Perek Shira is a medrash, it's part of the Yalkut Shimoni. Got popular in more recent times. People recite Perek Shira, it's a good segula for different things. Perek Shira declares what all the different parts of the Bria sing to Hashem. So what do the fish sing to Hashem? Kol Hashem al Hamayim. The fish thing, the voice of God is upon the waters. Okay, makes sense for fish. But again, all of that is alluding to, he says, U'muchach mikan sha'adagim nimshachah b'sfiras chesed. Apparently you see that the world of fish is the world of chesed. And therefore, the world of Purim is the world of Chesed. Uvizayuvan Mashi Isa b'Maseches Kedushin. Oh, little Kedushin. Got to learn a little Kedushin every day. Kedushin Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. Kol she'eni odeya b'tiv gitin v'kedushin lo yehei lo esek imahem. A person who is not an expert in the laws of divorce and marriage should not have any involvement with them. Meaning, don't be a Masadr Kedushin if you don't know what you're doing. And in a certain sense, if you mess up someone's marriage, now the Mefarshim point out that to be a Masadr Kedushin is not such a big deal. To Masadr Kedushin for a second wedding is a bigger deal. Why? Because if you look at the Maimer Chazal, what does the Gemara say? Anyone who's not an expert in divorce and marriage, meaning what? If someone was previously married and got divorced, you want to make sure that the divorce was a proper divorce. Because if the divorce was not a proper divorce, then the person is still married. And if you're going to marry off a married man or a married woman, then you're going to create mamzerim. And that's going to be a huge problem. Okay? So to just do kedushin stam, yeah, you get the RCA manual and you follow the steps. It's not so hard. But some of our should say, you know, gitin v'kedushin is alluding to that. But again, it's a serious thing. The potential to mess up a marriage is a serious thing. Kashin la'olam yosir midor ha-mavl. A botched marriage, in a certain sense, is worse than the mavl. The ilu hasam kol asher b'charava meisu v'lo dagim shabiyam. Because by the mavl, at least the fish survived. Everything on dry land was destroyed, but the fish survived. V'ahacha v'beledas mamzerim. If God forbid, you corrupt the marriage and you bring mamzerim to the world, afilu dagim shabiyam. That kills even Dagim Shebayam. as the psukim say, "V'gam dagam shabayam yaseifu," in the context of perverted relationships. V'tzarech lahavin ma inyan ribuiz noseitzel dagam shabayam. So what is an increase of arayos, of immorality, right? Of children being born from improper marriages, what's the connection? Why is that threatening to fish who live in water? Well, what does water represent? What do fish represent? What is chesed? What is chesed gone wild, gone bad? The Baal Shem Tov explained the fascinating thing. It's one of the strangest psukim in the Torah. The pasuk says of Vayikra, "V'ish asher yikach es acho so chesed." If a man will take his sister and be intimate with her, if a person will have such a relationship, an incestuous relationship of sleeping with his sister, it's chesed. The Torah calls it chesed. Chesed? What do you mean chesed? He explains the Baal Shem Tov, quoted in the Maor Einayim Parshas Pinchas, "Hine mi sheholich etzel la'er v'rachman litzlan, halohu machmas ava shevo." What causes a person, what creates the sexual drive? Ava. Intense feelings of love. Chesed. What happened in this case? Chesed perverted itself. Chesed is supposed to be used for loving one's wife, right? For showing love for things that one is allowed to love, right? But not, God forbid, for loving another man's wife. Not, God forbid, for loving in a sexual way one's sister. Halo ava hi chesed hu hamida shebebor yisbarach shmo. That ava is rooted in chesed. Va'ata, and now this individual, osa bezayra, umoridas ha'ava kivyachom b'makom betunaf. He took this concept of ava, or chesed, and this individual perverted it. So when the Torah calls it chesed, it's saying, listen, this is coming, this is rooted, the concept itself of intense feelings of love, it's a beautiful thing, but you've perverted it, you've taken it and used it in the wrong place. So if we understand that again, that chesed or ava, that corrupts itself, becomes a rayos, and we said that the fish live in the water, which is chesed, so when there's a rayos, now we understand the Gemara in Kedushin, when there's a rayos in the world, it's threatening to the fish. It's a perversion of mayim. It's a perversion of mayim. I've been giving these shirim, some of you have been at the shirim, but I've been giving these shirim Thursday nights on the four yisodos, Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. What does a mayim correspond to? The Tanya writes, Rav Chaim Vital writes in his Shara Kedusha as well, that mayim is what? Mayim is tanuk. Mayim is the pursuit of pleasure. In particular, again, sexual desire. So again, here, when the mayim goes bad, when the chesed and the ava gets corrupted, when a person is intimate with his sister, so then the fish and the sea are in big trouble. Because that means the mayim has been contaminated. Okay? So therefore, since fish sustain themselves from chesed, and znus is a perversion, right? Sexual immorality is a perversion of chesed, so therefore the fish are in trouble. And it's hinted to in the following gematria, and Wolfson is one of the gedolei gematria in the world today. He says, like the pasuk says, right, the degei hayam, the fish of the sea. He says the degei hayam is gematria chesed. So when there's proper chesed, the fish live in the sea and everything's good. But when there's a perversion of chesed, the life of the fish at sea becomes threatened. Okay, 72. Degei hayam is 72. Chesed is 72. Aval yesh chiluk bein chesed de'adar l'chesed de'nisa. So now we come back to where we started. We said, what's the simcha? Mishenechlas adavarim b'simcha. Rashi told us, it's a time of what? Of miracles, Purim, and Pesach. Adar and Nisan. Right? What's the connection? They're both zmanu of chesed, but there's a big difference. The chesed of Adar and the chesed of Nisan are very different. And it's to be expected. Adar being the end of the year, and Nisan being the beginning of the year, it works out perfectly. It makes a lot of sense. Hinei b'chodesh Nisan. Two lines from the end, on page one. Nisan is revealed chesed. Nisan is God coming down to Mitzrayim, Etzpe Elokim, Zekei Livan Veyu, seeing God with the utmost clarity, hearing the Dvar Hashem, going to Kabbalah Satorah, everything that revolves on Yetzias Mitzrayim and marching to Kabbalah Satorah, the miracles of Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Kabbalah Satorah, it's all revealed. It's all his galus. Aval Bepurim Hayah Nes Tamun Umechusa Beteva. Turn the page. But on Purim, the kindness of Hashem is completely concealed. So much so, and how many times does Hashem's name appear in the Megillah?
Zero.
A whopping zero, exactly. Hashem is nowhere to be found. Who's the hero of Purim? Esther. Anochi Haster Astir. It's all hidden. Of course, the goal for us is to be able to see Hashem within that concealment. That's why, as the Sfarim HaKadoshim explained, it's called Megillas Esther. What does Megillat Esther mean? To be Megalet, to reveal that which is hidden. So the whole avodah of Purim is to be able to see Hashem in the dark, as opposed to Nisan, where we see Hashem is, you know, smacking you in the face. Kamoshi Isa B'Sfarim, top of page, Resh Pei Beit, second page. Like it says in the Sfarim, that Purim is the hidden Yom Tov. Like it says, Kedusha Slevi and Kedusha Rishona on the Pasuk Vanochi Haster Astir, Shemisham Yalfina and Esther Minator. The famous Gemara in Chulin, I think it's Avkuf Lamentes, where the Gemara says, where is there a hint to Esther in the Torah? And it quotes the Pasuk Vanochi Haster Astir. That's a hint to Esther in the Torah. So you see, the whole Indian of Esther is Hester Panim. Divine concealment. And now you understand why the fish who swim beneath the surface, right? The fish are swimming in chesed. Ma'im is chesed, but it's hard to see the fish when you're on the surface. It's hard to see the fish. Sometimes you can't, right? Sometimes you catch a reflection of the fish. Sometimes you see the shadow of the fish. Sometimes, if you're so lucky, the fish swims up for a moment and then disappears. So again, that whole world of Purim, that world of fish, that world of Anochi Haster Hastir, is merumis to what? Hints to Chesed Mechusa. Kamosha Perish Rashi, Vayidgu LaRov, like Rashi explains, Vayidgu LaRov, Ma Dogim Shabiya, Mai Mechasim Aleim, Ve'in Ayin Sholetis Vehem. Just like the fish of the sea are protected from Ayin Hara, that they're covered over, right? So too, dot, dot, dot. So too, Klai Yisrael. It's a bracha for Klai Yisrael. Which Shevet, by the way, let's pause here for a second. Which Shevet corresponds to the month of Adar? Okay, so there's different approaches. What can we say?
Dun.
What have you heard?
Dun.
Okay, you could say Dun. Dun really corresponds to Adar Sheni more than Adar Aleph. If you label that, if you put the Shvatim in order of the way they encamped, or the way they traveled through the Midbar, so who led the way? Who leads the way? Who's up in front? Yehuda. Who's the back section? Degel Machane Dan, right? So it's Dan, Asher, Naphtali. So Naphtali has a very strong connection to Adar. Dan, of course, was very popular, as Rashi says in Bahaloscha. So Dan spills over. So in a certain sense, the members of Dan really become the back of the camp. So the end of, right, the 12 months and the 12 Shvatim, Dan in a certain sense occupies the last spot. And certainly in Adar Sheni, Dan occupies, so to speak, that 13th spot. Hey, what else could we do? How else could we arrange the months? What else could we say about Purim? Okay, so you can put them in age order, in which case Binyamin becomes Adar. Okay, that's why I'm talking about that. The other possibility is to say that Adar, and this is what Marsha in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Beis says, and the Kedushas Levi says as well, that Adar is Yosef HaTzadik. Why? Why is Adar Yosef?
Because he was hidden from that. From
Yosef, the bracha is, first of all, Yosef, right, was certainly concealed and was hidden. He spent time in a dungeon underground. Yeah, Yosef, first of all, the bracha says by Yosef that he's what? That he's Ale Ayin. He's above the eye. Right? The Gemara has a funny Gemara in Brachos. Don't worry about me. I don't have to be concerned about Ayin Hara because I am a descendant of Yosef at Tzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik is protected, just like the fish of the sea, right, don't have Ayin Hara. So too, the descendants of Yosef are not affected by Ayin Hara. But I think one of the most compelling proofs of all is what the Berditcher says, which is what? What's the one month to split into two? Adar. What's the one Shevet to split into two? Yosef, Ephraim and Menashe. Okay? So you can make the case that Yosef is also very much connected to Adar. And again, Yosef is certainly connected to this Indian of fish, is connected to this Indian of Ayin Hara, Ephraim and Menashe, or being not susceptible to Ayin Hara. Okay, so that's just an interesting thing to think about on this Vayid Gula Rov, that the fish are concealed, and what that connection to Yosef. The brothers didn't recognize Yosef. Haim lohi kiruhu. Concealment, Hester Panim. Literally, Hester Panim. His face was covered by a beard, and they couldn't recognize him. Okay. So Masha Ein came b'Nisan, as opposed to Nisan, where Nisan is revealed chesed. Everyone see where we are, the second paragraph? Nisan is a time of chesed that is revealed. V'chein merumas ha'neis b'zgalus u'b'pumbi. B'shem ha'chodesh atzmo shu Nisan. What does Nisan even mean? What does the name itself mean? Nisan comes from Lashon Neis. And what does Neis mean? Not only miracle, but what else does it mean? Just want to ask, sorry. V'sa Neis, l'kabitz g'liyosenu, lift up a banner. A Neis is a banner. Hudavar hanir la'ayin. What do you do with a banner? You raise it up to the rooftops, right? You hang it off a building, off a bridge. Klein kol. V'sim osa ala Neis, v'ra osa v'chai. Like we find later in Bamidbar, when the Jews are being attacked by snakes, and they say, take the nachash nechoshas, the simo so al nes, put it up high for all to see, and those who see it will be healed. So Nisan is what? Is everything is available to be seen, displayed for all to see. Yes, Rabbi Yaakov.
Just about Nisan and Adar, is that, like you were just saying, that Yosef has this like hiddenness to his face?
Right.
Like the chesed that was hidden? And then Moshe for Nisan also wears a mask, like there's a hiddenness, but it's like the chesed's like shining through. Like completely.
Very good. So very good. So it's hidden and revealed at the same time.
Mask that like Hashem shining
out. It's Megillas Esther. It's hidden and revealed. It's a mask, but it's shining through. That's beautiful. And that's the Indian of masks on Purim. That's the Indian of costumes on Purim, perhaps. Right? The whole Indian of masks on Purim and costumes on Purim might be very much connected to that. Which reminds me of something. Okay.
Also, could I just say?
Yeah, please.
You said it before. You were talking about how, like, the whole idea of the first marriage, or like knowing the second marriage and the laws of divorce.
Yeah.
So, like, it's almost like when a Jew on Purim is like, in general, has to understand, like, especially maybe Kedushin, but has to understand the speed inside of Kedushin for Purim, because it's the second marriage of the Jewish people.
Right.
And like they have to know why they got divorced in the first place. And like
beautiful.
And not to create, especially at a Purim when there's a lot of production from reacting in a certain way at Purim where things can become can act like a mom. But like but
the second marriage.
Yeah, they keep moving, keep moving.
Very good.
One more for us.
Very good. Yeah, Purim's the second marriage. It's very good. Okay, so Nisan is a time of Nes. Time of revealed goodness. Of a Mitzrayim hayu nisim niglim. The miracles of Mitzrayim were revealed. Kamosha Amra Yam Nora Tihilos Ose Fela. What does that mean? Vuhu davar hanira le'enayim shebnei adam mispalim bo. Right? When a person says, whoa, Pella, wondrous. You don't say wondrous about something you don't see. When you see something shocking, you say, whoa, that's a wondrous thing. So in Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim, there was a Pella, there was a wonder. Right, Pella is the same letter as this Aleph. Nisan is the beginning of the calendar year. Hachodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chadashim. Aleph is one. Right, Nisan is also one, the first of the month. V'chein k'siv k'meitzeis chayar t'tzrayim erenu nifla'os. Erenu, you'll see wondrous things when you leave Mitzrayim. Again, it's the beginning of time, it's clarity, it's everything in its proper place. And that's the whole, again, that's the whole mahus of Chodesh Nisan. The world is renewing itself, the trees are coming back to life, Seder. The Pesach Seder, everything is b'Seder. You could see God in your life. U'mazlo shel Nisan hu teleh. The mazel of Nisan is the sheep, shepsela. U'vehemos dakos omros. And it says in Perek Shira, what are the small animals like the sheep say? Micha mocha u'gomer. Nor tihilos ose fela. So it's a pella. It's a time of pella. It's a time of, again, of clarity, of just wow. A lot of wow. A lot of wow in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So look what Wolfson says here, an interesting remez. And hear him out, let him explain. Adar, he says, is gematria, b'chesed mechusa. Adar is gematria, right? Adar is a time of redemption with concealed kindness. B'chesed is 74, mechusa is 131. Nisan is what? Is a time of chesed that is revealed. B'chesed nigla. Im kolal ha'osios. He says the way to add it up is Bechesed Nigla plus the eight letters of Bechesed Nigla. Now, why am I counting letters? In Gematria, we sometimes do that, but why by Nisan am I counting every letter in addition to just the words? Because Nisan, again, being the Rosh of the calendar year, is Kolel, encompasses within it many subcategories. The whole year is contained within Nisan in a certain sense. The same way that we'll talk about this later in the week, Mirtz Hashem, when I plant an apple seed, yeah, and it grows into a tree and it produces fruits, and within those apples are more seeds, so all of that was really contained within that first apple seed. So in a certain sense, Nisan, being the shorish of the year, has within it, it's kolel within it, all the different pieces of the year. So there, what did you say?
And also Adar.
Adar being the end of the year also is kolel in a certain sense. Yeah. Yeah. Vahu haya rosh kolanisim, va'adar sof kolanisim. V'lachein, I'm not sure exactly how to cheshbon this, what he says here. He says, therefore, osef ela is gematria adar nisan. Now, it's not exactly true. Oset, right? Ayin sin hay is gematria adar plus nisan. So I'm not sure exactly what he's trying to do. Again, together they produce wonders. But I'm not sure. Osei fel is not gematria other plus nisan. Osei is gematria other plus nisan. The pella he already explained to us is the wonder of nisan. But I'm not sure exactly what he's trying to say there. Uvipnei shnei chadashim elu heim nishoresh midas chesed yuvan shebishnei chadashim daika zman lasos tzedakah v'chesed. So because these are months of chasadim, so of course, like no other month, we find what? We find a unique type of demand of chesed in the Yom Tov. Where do we find that? Bepurim matanos levyonim. Built into Purim is chesed. Matanos levyonim, mishloach manos, you could also argue is a form of chesed. Uve Nisan, what about Nisan? Kofin al maos chitim. Not only do we collect tzedakah, right? But the halacha insists that if a person has lived in the community, we can go to them, we can demand tzedakah. Tzedakah is usually not something we can demand, but in Nisan we can demand chesed. Mashalo nimtza b'shum pam acher she'achiyuv shel tzedakah al zman miyuchad. We don't find anywhere else that there's an absolute demand to give tzedakah. So why dafka here in the month of Adar and Nisan is there an obligation to give tzedakah? Mishum she'b'shnei chadashim alalu yish his gabrus midas ha'chesed. Because in these 2 months we have this unbelievable outpouring of chesed. Okay? Great piece, no? Again, these are all building blocks. They're shorter pieces, but we'll learn a few more. We'll skip around. I'm not going to do the next one. We'll, for the sake of time, we'll pick, the ones that are most exciting for us. Yeah?
We were saying before about soap and tchila, so we were seeing what's from God last night, the soap, machanava. Soap, maza, machanava, tchila is the gematria of Mishinichas Adar, more of the simcha.
Really?
Yeah.
Soap, maza, machanava, tchila is Mishinichas Adar, more of the simcha? You checked them?
Better calculate.
Okay. Don't worry, I'll check it. Not that I don't trust him.
He didn't count it.
He just knows. Like, he didn't. Okay. He's a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, Rabbi Rubenstein. I don't have any shells on Moreno Verbena, Rabbi Rubenstein. Okay. Good. Let's skip the next little piece. Let's go to the tiny piece right after that. Maseches Megillah. He says, because again, what you were just saying a second ago, that other is also really all-encompassing in a certain sense. So that's very true. In Megillah, yesh seder kriyas kol ha-moadim. In Maseches Megillah, what happens in the fourth paragraph of Megillah? And we learn Maseches Megillah. It talks about what? It talks about kriyas ha-Torah for all the Yom Tovim.
Selling Torah.
Right? It talks about Halios and talks about Kriyas HaTorah for all the holidays. Why is it talking about the Kriyas HaTorah for all the holidays in Maseches Megillah? It says, Rav Wolfson, Mavur al Pima She'isa B'svar HaKadoshim, like it says in Bnei Yisachar, that Purim is Kolel Kohal Mo'adim. That Purim is the ultimate Yom Tov in a certain sense. That's why Lasid Lavo, all the Yom Tov are going to be batal except for Purim. In a certain sense, all the Yom Tovim are found within Purim. So as long as you take Purim with you, you basically take everything with you. What's the Bnei Yisachar that he's referring to? So the Bnei Yisachar says, and this is a hard one, but again, Bnei Yisachar wasn't bored. So he wasn't like writing things, just to... it's a hard remez. I'll tell you what he says. He says, Purim stands for the following thing. This is what Bnei Yisachar says. Pei Vav Resh Yud Mem stands for... Pei stands for... Pesach. Vav stands for, you'll never guess Vav.
Purim.
Shvius. Vav is, this is the hardest one. But he explains it, but Bnei Yisachar explains it. Vav, he says, stands for Visukis.
Shoshana Yom Kippur.
Okay, before you laugh, think about the connection between the letter Vav and Sukkis. Okay? That's a pashut. That's a pashut that Bnei Yisachar does know what he's talking about. But okay. Resh, Rosh Hashanah. Yod, Yom Kippur. Mem,
Matan Torah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kish.
Not Pasha.
What was the first one? What was the name?
Pei's Pesach. Say it. That one's easy.
Yeah, I'm saying, is there something?
No tricks.
I'm saying the Visukis. Maybe you could connect it to the Pei and Pesach.
So, alright, so the Pei, right, so Pesach Visuk is my.
So okay. There.
Again, it's not stam. The B'nai Yisrael was not a language. So as much as, you know, as much as the part of us that wants to laugh at such a remez, but obviously, you know, if the B'nai Yisrael brought down such an idea, but there's many other, not for now, maybe we'll have a shiur on it maybe, but Purim is really the all-encompassing Yom Tov, and there's many other Ramazim that show how Purim contains within it all of the other Yom Tov. What? Where's Lag B'Omer? Mefurish halach in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, that plug, it gives you the remez for how you know how the dates fall out. It says that, right, at bash, that Aleph Pesach, the same day of the week is going to be tough, is going to be Tisha B'Av. That Beis Pesach, the second day of Pesach, is going to be Shin, is going to be Shuas. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, plug Purim, and Lag B'Omer are linked. On the same day in reverse. Okay, not for now, there's a big Torah there, but not for now. Okay, let's look at the next piece. It's a big chizik for us Jews living in the Tafshin Ayin Zayin.
How does he explain
with the Sukkot with the Vav? Also, not for now. Okay, but Rav Wolfson says, you see in Maseches Megillah, the fact that Maseches Megillah talks about all the Yom Tovim is also alluding to this idea that it's an all-encompassing Yom Tov. Okay, next little piece. What's the last pasuk, really the last phrase of the entire Megillah? V'dover shalom l'chol zara. It says that Mordechai was a good guy. Mordechai cared about Jews, and he was dover shalom lechol zaro. Says Rashi, a cryptic statement. Perish Rashi, v'dover shalom lechol zera amo. As if we didn't understand zaro, zera amo. What's Rashi saying? V'kasha halo gam zera amo heim amo. V'nechlalim v'dorish tov le'amo. The pasuk says v'dorish tov le'amo. V'dover shalom lechol zaro. So Rashi says, oh, zera amo. He puts together the two parts of the pasuk. The first part says am, the second part says zera. Rashi says zera amo. What's Rashi adding? What do we learn about Mordechai's concern for us? He says in Yano Nira B'siyat V'shmai, it says with Wolfson Shlita, Shekai al dore doros, Vishapir kara'am, zera amo, She'inam b'dor echad amo. He says, what is Zera Amo? He says, Zera Amo means not only the Jews who are in Mordechai's time was he concerned about, but Mordechai had such a perspective that Mordechai was able to look into the future, and Mordechai was Dorish Tov Lechol Amo, right? V'dorish Shalom Lechol Zara. Mordechai was worried about what? About all of Klal Yisrael, even the Zera Amo, even in the future. V'hainu B'shas Kriyas HaMegillah. And therefore, every year when we read the Megillah, as Hispashtuso Shel Moshe, who Mordechai? Dover Shalom Lechol Yisrael. Okay, he's saying something cryptic, and again, maybe later this week or next week we'll try to unpack it a little bit. But he says that Moshe, who is Mordechai, who is Moshe, and he's referring to a comment of the Zohar, which says of the Tikkuni Zohar that says that Ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dara v'dara, that the Ispashtus, that the presence. Right, and the impact, I guess is a good way to say it. The impact of Moshe is felt b'chol dara v'dara in every generation. So Sfarim HaKadoshim point out that dara v'dara, as it's spelled in the Tikkuni Zohar, right? Dalet Reish Aleph, Dalet Reish Aleph, is Adar Adar. So the presence of Moshe is felt in every dara, in every Adar. But so too he's saying that Mordechai HaTzadik also has this unbelievable reach into the future.
Moshe died on Zion Adar?
That Moshe died on Zion Adar, yeah. Haman thought he could destroy Klal Yisrael because he thought, oh, this is the downfall of Moshe. There's a lot of Moshe Rabbeinu Torah connected to Purim. So therefore, just like Moshe Rabbeinu has an impact in every generation, says Rav Wolfson, that's the last pasuk the Megillah is telling us. That Mordechai Yehudi was concerned l'chol zaro, for even the Jews of the future, that he's dover shalom l'chol Yisrael, u'mamshich lehem ha'shvaos tovus, v'chol ha'nisim shal purim, shemizorim mechadash, b'chol dor v'ador. And Mordechai has a hand in all the miracles as we experience the various Purims throughout history. Again, the Hamans who come to try to get us, and we'll talk a little bit later, how the story, you know, v'nahafachu, repeats itself over and over and over again. Okay, let's skip the next little piece. Let's turn to page 3. And let's take a look. Here's current events. the piece that begins Begamar Megillah Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the second piece on Resh Pei Gimel. For all the talk about Donald Trump, here's a inyana diyoma. Begamar Megillah Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Who Achashverosh? Pasuk says Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? What do you need to say? Who Achashverosh? It wasn't the times of Achashverosh. He was Achashverosh. So the Gemara says, "Who Achashverosh? Who berisho mitchilaso v'ad sofo? He was a wicked king from beginning to end. Who Achashverosh? He was Achashverosh through and through." Says the Medrash, "Who Achashverosh? Shebo kol atzoros biyamav. Shenemar evil gadol ayhudim. The Achashverosh who brought in the fourth parak of Megillah great mourning upon the Jews." Who Achashverosh is the same Achashverosh Shabo Kol Tovos Biyamav, that the same Achashverosh, the same king who brought us to such tears, also brought us to what? Ayhudam Aisaora, Vesimcha, Vesason, Vikar. It's the same Achashverosh. The same Achashverosh was so bad for the Jews, the same Achashverosh was so good for the Jews. Which basically is the Megillah's way of saying that Achashverosh is irrelevant. He's not actually making things bad, he's not actually making things good. Right? Because if it's a rational human being making decisions, it doesn't make sense that he could be. Now again, the Gemara does say that he was a Melech HaFachvachan. He was the king who was wishy-washy. You know, one day he was a great lover and supporter of the Jewish people. The next day he was a great hater of the Jewish people. Okay. But says Rav Wolfson, what do you see from this? The fact that the same Achashverosh on the one hand can do things that are so destructive and things that are so positive. It must be Nira Biuro Lev Malachim Visarim Biyavashim. That Lev Malachim, like the Pasuk says, that the heart of kings and noblemen and officers is Biyad Hashem. Hashem controls the hearts of the Rasham. Va'af al pishu berisha mitchilasa v'atzofo. So even though Achashverosh was wicked through and through, again, that's what it said. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said he's a terrible king from beginning to end. So how did this terrible king, who's so wicked from beginning to end, how did he create such a simcha like never before for Klal Yisrael? It must be that he's not really in charge. Mikol makom kasher shavu Yisrael b'tshuva. When we did tshuva, oso ha'achashverosh atzmo gazer simcha v'sasa le'yehudim. That same Achashverosh who was so wicked, he's not in charge, we're in charge. If we act proper, then we celebrate. And when Klal Yisrael acts improper, then we mourn. And it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what the newspapers say. Right? At the end of the day, if Klal Yisrael acts the way we're supposed to act, the world will be a better place. And when we act irresponsible, not only should we be disappointed for ourselves, but we should be disappointed for all of mankind. We ruin the world when we don't act the way that the Jewish people are supposed to act. Okay? Yeah.
Can we do a similar piece like that in our Hamikdash?
What did we say?
We said something.
In Rav Tzaddik with the winds. Like when talking about the story with...
No, not the guy at the farmer.
We said how they were, when there was like a tornado or something.
Oh, yeah, we spoke about it, right.
No, we said with...
Right, we did talk about
king,
that one.
It was something that Hashem ruled, like the kingdom of Adam Khashoggi, so Hashem has a better relationship with...
Maybe, I don't remember.
You said that.
This, by the way, this line, this concept of Lev Malachim Visarim Biyad Hashem explains why Haman was so scary. There's a comment in the back of the Gemara Megillah from the Maariv Tzichias, if I'm not mistaken, where he says, because the Gemara says, we're thankful to Hashem, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, we're thankful to Hashem that He saved us Bekum Aleinu Adam, when a man rose up against us. So the Gemara darshins Adam Velo Melech, a man and not a king. Rashi says, who's that referring to? Haman. Right? The Melech wasn't really the problem. It was the guy. It was the regular guy. It was Haman who was trouble for us. So I think it's the Maariv Tzichias in the back of the Gemara says, that pasuk tells us how scary Haman was. Because if a king starts up with the Jewish people, we don't have to worry so much. Lev Malachim Visarim Biyad Hashem. But when an Adam, when someone who's not really part of the Malchus, somehow gets a hand in the Malchus, right? We don't see that Hashem necessarily interact with him the same way. So Haman had a certain, again, freedom to operate. Achashverosh is being manipulated. He's a king. He's being manipulated by God. But in Bekum Aleinu Adam, when Adam, like Haman, rose up against us, there's a certain danger that Kiviyachol, he's not under Hashem's dominion. Hashem doesn't manipulate a regular Adam the same way he manipulates and controls and moves the pieces around when it's a melech or a sar. And Haman was a sar, but okay, that's what the Maariv Tzichias says. Okay, the next piece is related to something we learned in Tzav Vezirus. Take a look. V'rabi me'ami ha'aretz misyadim kinafo pachad Mordechai aleihem. If you remember, the P.S.S. Rebbe in Osi Utes told us on his 40th birthday, what does he want to do now that he's turning 40? I want to convert to Judaism. I want to become Jewish. So we said at the end of the Megillah, it says that many ame ha'aretz became Jewish. Kinafo pachad Mordechai aleihem, because the fear of Mordechai fell upon them. So the Tiferes Shlomo, the Rebbe of Radomsk, explains, Ki pachar Hashem Yisbarach Shehaya al Mordechai himshech gam aleihem. What does it mean the fear of Mordechai fell upon them? See where we are?
The next
piece. Resh Pei Gimel, the third piece. The fear of Mordechai fell upon them. What, they were scared of Mordechai? He was so powerful? That's maybe Pashup Shad. But it means that the fear of Mordechai, the fear, the awe that Mordechai had for God was so tangible that it spilled over from Mordechai that people who came into contact with Mordechai became God-fearing. That's how the Tiferes Shlomo learns it. And because of that, right, people who were not Jewish decided we want to become Jewish. They were able to be impressed by the hashpa of Mordechai's Yirat Shamayim. So now he tells a great story. Rav Isser Zalman, Meltzer once asked of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, why do you spend so much, you waste so much time going to the mikvah all the time? Right? It's hard for me to understand. What's such a big deal about going to the mikvah? So listen to what he answered. It's great. V'heishiv, and he responded, Imal yedei tefila nasa migoy Yehudi. If going to the mikvah can turn a non-Jew into a Jew, that's part of the conversion process. So kol shekein shal yedei mikvah nasa miyehudi Yehudi yoser kasher. So the more so the mikvah, right, if something which is so far from Judaism can become Jewish by going into the water, that something which should so naturally be Jewish can become so much more Jewish by going into the mikvah. And from that point forward, Rav Isser Zalman had a different attitude and mistama a different practice in how often he would go to the mikvah. Ad kan b'sefer Mara da'arad d'Yisrael. This is what's brought in the sefer Mara da'arad d'Yisrael. V'yesh lomar shezoi kocha shel Purim. So now you understand. It's mamash when we learned. It's chaval that I didn't put this into tzavaziyos when we learned it. But we'll get it now. This is the koch of Purim. That if Purim has the power, that says at the end of the Megillah, that the people of the world, when they saw the miracle of Purim, they all came running to be Jewish. If the Megillah, we know, is forever, it's eternal. A person, right, the way the Baal Shem Tov, as Rav Maggid explained, Hakore l'mafreya lo yatza. The Mishnah in Megillah says if you read the Megillah backwards, then you have not fulfilled your obligation. The way the Baal Shem Tov, the Maggid of Mezrich, and all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov explained that Maimar Chazal, is that if you read the Megillah Limafreya as the thing of the past, if you think you're just reading a history book, lo yatza, you're not really connecting to the story. This is happening right now. It's always happening, Megillah. It's Netzach. It's always alive. It's always happening. So therefore what? So therefore, if Purim is always happening, that means the Hashba of Purim is always in the world. And if the Hashba of Purim had the ability in its time to bring what? To bring people from the Umas HaOlam to become Jewish, then kol shekein shah, kol nasim yehudim yoser kasher ma'ayde Purim. And all the more so, Purim transforms a Jew to be a better Jew. Purim is like a mikvah. And he alludes to it in the top of the left column. U'bepnimiyas hadavar kol inyana shal Purim, hu esgalis olam ha-mikvah. Ki oz nisgala shar ha-chamishim al yedei eitz gavoa nun ama ki adua. He's hinting to a lot of things, but he's saying that Purim is the time where we tap into the 50th gate, so to speak, in the positive sense. That's why Haman wanted to hang Mordechai on a gallows that was 50 amma. It was nun amma. Right? The Indian of nun is very much connected to Purim. And again, he's saying nun represents the highest level of purity. V'hu yom kamo yom ha-kippurim. It's Purim's like Yom Kippur, which is the day of what? Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, but also a Tara. It's a day where the Jewish people are cleansed. Mamash a mikvah. Yom Kippur is a mikvah. And Purim's an even greater madriga than Yom Kippur. So Purim's mamash a mikvah. Ki yaduah mitikunei zohar v'hu mikvah Yisrael Hashem. Okay, he's hinting to a lot of things. Again, maybe for another time, you can see I made a little note on the side, in the Sefer Orah V'Simcha, from the Rebbe of Baranov, he has a mimer called Mikvah Yisrael about Purim, and there's a lot of connections between going to the mikvah and Purim. Yeah. So you should go to the mikvah on Purim, by the way.
What's the Sefer?
You should get up on Purim morning, and before you go to Davin, Vasikin, Mestamla, you should go to the mikvah.
We changed the clock this year.
It's a good thing. So what? So you get an hour, you lose an hour, what?
I think you lose it. But Vasikin's still the same time because it's still sunrise.
Wait, so what time is Vasikin going to actually though? Like 5 o'clock?
It's the hour. No, it's
5:30?
An hour later. Vasikin's really an hour later, but you also lose an hour sleep.
What time is Vasikin starting per morning?
Whatever it is now.
Is it 5:30 or 7:30? It's like an hour earlier?
7:30.
Oh, that's great.
But you also lose an hour sleep.
That's really
6:30. The proposal is about it. It doesn't really matter. Just go to the mikvah program. Yeah.
About the 50th.
It's a Shem Bemi.
About the 50th.
Yeah. 50 in Purim.
Yeah. I remember we talked about the nuns. The nuns, backwards nuns, the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Whoa.
Right, the Rabbi Lamb Drasha, the Rabbi Right, the nun in Afuchin, the fish that swims upstream. So the concept, so nun, very good. Nun in Aramaic, nuna in Aramaic means fish. So it makes a lot of sense that Purim would have a deep connection to the Shar HaNun. There's a lot there. Okay, well, we'll see.
What was the safer that you said to look
at? Orv
Simcha.
Orv Simcha.
Yeah, the Orv Simcha from the Rabbi Baranov, he has a mimer called Mikvah Yisrael, where he talks all about Purim and Mikvah. Yeah.
Wait, when we're saying that, the Chassidic masters talk about how, if you read Purim backwards, is mamish, like what you read as the past.
Right, if you think it's a...
For Rav Yorkovitz's...
The whole definition of Dvei Kabbalah according to that Rashi and Chulin was what? That it's Lefi Shah, Lefi Amaisa, it's a thing of the past. Right? Purim's only gaining speed. It's growing stronger. Okay, let's do, we have a couple final pieces, so let's finish up. Kimur, the last piece on page Resh, Pei Gimel, the left-hand column. This is also a very relevant, again, sort of piece in terms of understanding the... You know, part of the reason that Purim is forever is because the story of Purim repeats itself over and over again, right? And when they talk about the Holocaust, you talk about Hitler being a Haman of sorts. It's not of sorts. The very nature of Purim, and you'll see, and he's going to explain it in a very interesting way. They're really built into sort of the story. When you read the Megillah, the end of the Megillah really tells you get ready for the next Purim. Because it's going to happen again. There's going to be people who rise up against us, and there's going to be a salvation. And, the Galgal HaChozer, it goes on and on and on, until finally you get to Mashiach, when we're finally able to put an end to it. So he writes, Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishneh LeMelech Achashverosh. It says that Mordechai was the second in command to Achashverosh. A Megillah Misayemes Ki HaMelech Sam Mas Al HaAretz V'Yeh Hayah. Megillah ends by telling us that the king, Achashverosh, placed a tax on the land and the Iye Hayam and on the islands of the sea. Asher lechora ein lo sheiches l'sipur ha'neis l'tochen Megillah. Such a strange note to end the Megillah. Okay, so certainly it shows that even after the story is over, that Achashverosh is, right, like the Gemara says, one of the reasons we don't say Halel on Purim is because even after the story is over, we're still Avdei Achashverosh, we're not totally freed, we weren't killed. But Achashverosh is still in charge, and that's why Achashverosh is still issuing taxes. But again, it's a strange, kind of strange note to end the Megillah on. Va'inyan nira, ki a Megillah mascheles l'saper min asudos ha-gadolos she'asa Achashverosh, asher hera es kvod malchuso, asher kilkel et sarche su'udos elu me ha-masim ha-atsumam asher gova me'am kasher darshu, chazalas. Again. The Megillah begins to tell the story of the big parties that Achashverosh made when he displayed all of his great grandeur and wealth. And he was, right, he was mechalkel, he fed the people and provided for the needs, he paid for the Suda with the tax, the great taxes that he had collected from the people. As the Gemara in Megillah says in Daf Yud Aleph, that the reason he's called Achashverosh, one of the interpretations of his name, Achashverosh, Shakol Nasim Roshim V'yamav. Achash ve Rosh, he made everyone a rash. What does rash mean? Poor. Everyone became poor. Ahasuerus was a money-hungry king. He collected a lot of money, and then when he threw this big party, he had plenty of money to pay for it. But we know that one of the things that happened, that when Esther came to power, one of the ways that Ahasuerus showed his great love for Esther, that there was a hanachal medinos, right? There was a tax break. He gave a tax break. The Gemara also darshens that by the suda of Ahasuerus, it says that the floor of the palace was made of dar v'socharis. So the Gemara darshan's dar v'socharis, that everyone was given drawer, that everyone was given freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from taxes. So Esther brought Ahasuerus to a good mood, and he lessened, you know, he lowered the taxes. But then at the end of the Megillah, how does the Megillah end? The Megillah ends by saying that Ahasuerus levied taxes on the land and on the oceans and on the islands. So don't think there were once taxes and Esther came to power and everything got better and then it never came back again. No, the Megillah ends by saying we're right back where we started. The end of the Megillah is right back where we started. Don't think it ends here. The story of Purim is not an uplifting piece. It's a reality. It's a reality check, this piece. Well, the Megillah zu ain't so. Shekasher misaimim osa shuv maschila mechadash. As soon as the Megillah ends, it begins again. We're going to save us from new enemies. The Megillah ends the way that it begins. We're right back where we started. The king is again issuing taxes. And again, everything goes around and around. So now you understand the pasuk. And again, this is it's a frightening piece a little bit. Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishnah leMelech Ahasuerus. What does Lechem Mishnah mean? What does Mishnah Torah mean? Right? A double. It's not just two. It's right. It's a doubling. It's a repetition. Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishnah Klomar Shehu Mischadish Od Pam Ukama U Mishnah Kesef Kachuv Yadchem. Right, a double portion. So the pasuk says, "Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishnah." Mordechai was, so to speak, doubled. Why is Mordechai doubled? Why do we need another Mordechai? Why wasn't enough to have one Mordechai? Klomar Mordechai Sheni. We need a second Mordechai. And the answer is, what does the pasuk say? Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishnah. You know why? LeMelech Ahasuerus. Because the tragic reality is, until Mashiach comes, there's going to be other Melech Ahasuerus's, and there's going to be other Hamans, and there's going to be other diabolical plots to destroy Klal Yisrael. Shetzrichem oso levatel gezeros shachashverosh achadash. You're going to need new Mordechais to be mevatel what? To be mevatel new gezeros. Telechei nikra Megillah. He says Megillah is a lashon of what? Galgal achozer ba'olam. Megillah also implies, right, a revolution, a circle, so to speak, by which the story of struggle and triumph of Klal Yisrael. Shebechol dor mischadash is Megillah zu mechadash vechozer chalila. There's new Megillahs in every generation. That's why the Kotzker used to walk around on Purim. I think Shem Yishmuel brings to the Kotzker. The Kotzker would walk around on Purim and would say, when are they going to write the Megillah already? When are they going to write the Megillah already? So I was like, what are you talking about? When are they going to write the Megillah already? But the Kotzker understood that in every generation, new Megillahs are being written. And the Kotzker was saying, when are they going to write the final Megillah? When are they going to write the final story of the final Jews who suffered and struggled at the end of days and were zochah to see the Gula Shleima? When are they going to write the Megillah already? That's the Megillah that we're all waiting for. So therefore, says Rav Wolfson, now we understand the Minhag Yisrael. What's a grager? What does the grager symbolize? V'lachem misovim hanar misagrager shagam haman galgal achozer ba'olam u'mischadish b'chol dor u'mulchamam Hashem v'amalik midor dor. Like it says at the end of the Parshas B'Shalach, there's new Hamans, and it's a battle that rages in b'chol dor in every generation. It goes around and around and around and around. And again, that's a scary reality. But Purim is a time to daven, to hope that again, like the Kotzker said, we should write that final Megillah. Okay, let's turn to the last page. Let's do one. Let's do two more pieces. We'll skip the top little piece. We'll do the middle piece, and then we'll just do the bottom piece. Leperish Harambam b'Mishnah. Everyone see where we are? The Perish Rambam B'Mishnah. Eza Ir Gadol, the last page. Eza Ir Gadol, Kol Sheyesh Ba Asara Batlanim. So some of us who've been learning Megillah, we learned, what's considered a big city? Any city that has 10 batlanin, has 10 retirees who are able to sit and learn Torah. Okay? Shalagabi din makdim in liyamach nisa namar naicha. So according to the Rambam's understanding, that what's considered a big city, meaning what city is considered too big to no longer have the heter of reading early on the 11th and 12th and 13th of Adar. Yeah, for those who don't know, the opening Mishnah Maseches Megillah says we read the Megillah on 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Who reads on 11, 12, and 13? We said Kvarim, small little villages, who come on Monday and Thursday to the big cities, they have a special dispensation to read early. They're allowed to read on the 11th or 12th or 13th of Adar. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, what's considered a big city? If you have Asara Batlanin, if you have 10 retirees, if you have less than that, if you don't have 10 retired people in the city, you can't sustain a kolel in the city, then you're considered a small village, and you're able to read early, assuming that you come to a bigger city, on the day of Yom HaKnisa. Okay? Dezehu geder shel ir gadol. This is the definition of a large city. Im yesh behem uchlusin sheyachol nefarnes asar batlanin. If you have enough inhabitants to support a kolel, the 10 retirees can spend their day in the Beis Medrash to always make a minyan, to always have learning. So it makes a lot of sense. The Rashba, however, understands differently. The Rashba explains that even to be considered a walled city, you also need to have 10 retirees. Now why should that be? When the Mishnah says that walled cities read on the 15th, a wall is a wall. Why do I need a kolel to make it a walled city? Again, I understand to gauge whether a city is considered a large city or a small city. So we need to know, are most people working? Is it such a large city that you have people who are retired and you can support them? Right? It's a city that's able to afford such a thing. But why should a walled city be dependent upon having 10 kolniks? Why does that make it a walled city or not a walled city? So he says this is a beautiful medrash. You've never heard this medrash. It's a beautiful medrash. Renira, the medrash in Eicha, the introduction to Eicha says, the Bnei Rabbi Chia Bikshu Liros Neturei Karta. What's Neturei Karta? Not the guys who stand on the side by the Israeli Day Parade. Right? They stole the name Neturei Karta. What do the words even mean? What is Neturei Karta? Karta means the city. Karta with a kov. And Neturei? The protectors, the guardians of the city. Okay? So the Neturei Karta, they think that they're guarding by rallying against Medinat Yisrael. They think that they're protecting the city, they're protecting Eretz Yisrael. Okay. But Bnei Rabbi Chiya said, we want to see the Neturei Karta. They came to a city and they said, show us, who's the security team of the city? So they brought out the security team. Yeah? So the Chevra sits at the desk over here. They brought out the security guards. Right? You want to see security? Here's the security. Here are the shomer here. The Amru, so listen to this. So the Bnei Rabbi Chiya said, what? You call that security? Elu Santure Karta. These are the destroyers of the city.
Wait, Tati.
You can't count on these people. Right? Anytime something goes wrong in the city, it's because of them. Who really protects the city? Kineture Karta he malamde tinokos. Torah protects the city. Right? The children who sit and learn protect the city. Ki yim Hashem lo yishmor ir, shav shoked shomer. That if Hashem's presence is not found in the city, if people aren't learning in the city, then the city can't be protected. You can have the greatest military forces in the world. There has to be a balance. Of course we have to do our shtadlis. Of course you have to have guards. Bnei Rabbi Chiya, we're not saying don't have guards. But realize who's really behind the scenes protecting the city. It's Torah and mitzvot that bring protection to anything and everyone. So therefore, look what he says. Yinei Darshu Chazal. The Gemara Psachim says, "Ani Choma Zo Torah." Torah protects a person. Torah creates a wall around the person. K'dei Likro Betes. Oh, sorry, I skipped. Ki Iker Shmira Seir Hi A Torah Shalom Dimba V'Lo A Choma Shasuya Me'Avanu V'Tit. The real wall of the city is not a wall made out of stone and plaster, but is a wall made out of what? Out of Torah, of mitzvot, of ma'asim tovim. Again, when a Jew acts the way he's supposed to act, God is more than happy to protect him. And when Klal Yisrael don't act right, we make the world a dangerous place. Period. V'zeu pashut she'in b'megilas Esther tzarech choma k'dei likro b'tezvav. So look what Rav Wolfson says. If Megillas Esther talks about a walled city, Of course, that means also a physical wall. But if the Megillah is written with Ruach HaKodesh, a wall has to be understood in a deep way as well, in a pnimius way. According to the what? The Ruach HaKodesh by which the Megillah was written, it can't simply be, now you understand the sheet of the Rashba, it can't be that you're called a walled city just because you have a wall. Do you also have a kolel? Do you also have people learning Torah? If you do, now it's a walled city. It's beautiful, though. No? Especially Purim is a time of Kabbalah of Torah, strengthening our commitment to Torah. The purpose of a wall is to guard. A wall on its own is not going to protect the city. And in fact, a wall on its own might give people a sense of false security. Therefore, Chazal understood that a city cannot be considered a walled city. Unless you have people sitting and learning. Okay, final piece, one last little piece. Again, we touched on it earlier. Yaakov gave us a good insight into it. More to think about. Inyan minag Yisrael lilvosh masveh b'Purim. Why do people wear masks on Purim? Okay, you've probably thought about this before. Costumes, masks, what's the inyan? Nira ki ha'ish halovish masveh mastir espanov. When you wear a mask, very simply, hester panim. When a person wears a mask, when you see someone wearing a mask, you know they're wearing a mask. You say, I see the face that's presenting itself to me. Right? But I also know that that's not the real face. There's another face beneath the superficial face. Right? The Pasuk says that Esther is hinted to in the Torah by the Pasuk that Hashem says, I'm going to hide my face. And therefore, when we wear masks on Purim, no one thinks, oh my gosh, that's actually Donald Trump coming to shul on Purim. No, you know, it's someone coming in a Donald Trump mask. Right? It's not actually a gorilla walking into shul on Purim. It's someone coming in a gorilla costume. You know for sure, right, that it's not an actual gorilla. You're positive that behind that face is another face. And therefore, on Purim, again, Megillas Esther, to uncover that which is concealed. Aval anu ma'aminim shetachas hester panim yesh panim asviros, that hidden behind Hashem's face of concealment is a smiling face, u'mashkiach aleinu l'tova. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants us, again, to be megaleh the Esther, to uncover, to see beyond the surface, to see the fish, the chesed, that's hidden beneath the water, like we started with, and to recognize the kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to provide for us. Okay, shkoyach. Yeah, Yaakov, you want to say something?
I wanted to ask a question. I wanted to say the piece about the people with the wall is like a great proof for hazard issue.
Yeah.
That's like the whole thing.
Yeah.
That they do both at the same time.
You have to have both.
Yeah.
A wall is a wall and a wall is also Torah. And they're both true.
Right.
You'd be foolish to think you could just learn Torah and not put up a wall. Your Torah has to be on a very perfected level if you want to just rely on Torah. But your wall also is not enough on its own. You need the combination. Yeah.
Let's tell Donald.
Well, Tommy, what do you want to say? You coming on Purim? We'll see you again.
Can I come?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Why not? What do you want to say?
We heard like a lot of different ideas about Purim. Like, I want to pick one about the title of doing Mitzvah of Purim. Like, what
should I? What's the Ikra of Odom Purim? I used to not like Purim a lot. I used to seriously not like Purim. I used to think that Purim is this day of epic disappointment, which is true, right? Meaning the notion of kivoy on Purim, of longing, of hoping on Purim, of dreaming big on Purim. Rav Huttner has a beautiful piece in the Pachad Yitzchak. He says, the Pasuk says, Atam Moshel Begeus Hayam, you rule over the grandeur of the sea. Hashem, you rule over the grandeur of the sea. Besoga love, when the waves rise up, ata tishabchim, you quiet them down. So Rav Huttner, it's one of the Yiddish pieces in Purim. So Rav Huttner says, ata tishabchim, which means you silence the waves, you crush the waves, you push them back down, right? The wave rises up, racing towards the shore, and then it comes crashing down. But tishabchim also, what does the word sound like? Shabach, that's a praise. What's the praise of the wave? So Chazal say the praise of the wave is that the wave knows it's going to come crashing down, and yet the wave keeps trying again. It picks itself up, and it picks itself up, and it picks itself up. So Rav Huttner says, again, it's one of the Yiddish pieces in the Pachad Yitzchak on Purim. He says, by all the Yom Tovim, when the Yom Tov's over, we don't want to come crashing down. When you experience Pesach, Rav Hundner says, what would be so bad if after Pesach you took a little bit of the cheiros of Pesach with you? That's a good thing. What would be so bad if after Shavuos you took a little bit of the Torah with you? That's a good thing. If Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur you took a little bit of the Pachar of the Yom Noran with you into the calendar year, that's a good thing. But Rav Hundner said, by Purim, you don't take Purim with you. Purim is meant to be left. What happens in Purim stays in Purim. You know, you leave it by Purim. He says, but when it's Purim, it's like the wave that rises up. You give it your all, knowing that by the end of Purim, it's going to come crashing down. For some people, that's very literal. For other people, it's sort of that disappointment that comes at the end of every Purim. Right? As great as it was, you know, the thought of what it could be was always greater than... right? So Rav Hundner says, even though I know that at the end of Purim, we don't take Purim with us, we leave the experience of Purim behind. But Rav Hundner says in Yiddish, he says, as long as I'm sitting by my tish, as long as I'm sitting by the table, ich storm, I'm going to storm, I'm going to rage. I'm going to rage like the ocean. As long as I'm still sitting by the table, Rav Hundner says, I'm going to give my all, knowing full well that I can't take Purim with me. So, you know, so what's the avoda of Purim? The avoda of Purim is to go big, right? Usually they say go big or go home. It's go big and go home. Right? Go big and then go home. And know that you're not taking Purim with you. Try to bring Mashiach. Try to daven like never before. Try to feel connected to Hashem in a way that's totally unrealistic for any other day of the calendar year. And part of the way that we do that is we're mavatal ourselves. Bitul hadas. I just want to dissolve into you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't even want to exist anywhere. Be careful, obviously. It's one of the sun. People, could literally almost kill themselves on Purim. There's a sefer called Seder Hayom. Sefer called Seder Hayom. I forget who wrote it. It's an earlier sefer. So the Seder Hayom, he said, why do we drink on Purim? He said that mavatal haman gezer. When a person gets drunk on Purim, right, and then collapses into bed or falls on the floor. And again, I'm not necessarily advocating that one should, you know, drink that much on Purim. But when a person, you know, is knocked out on Purim, so to speak, and you're collapsed on Purim, so the Seder Hayom says that's the way we're Mekayim Haman's Gezerah. Haman wanted what? Haman wanted all the Jews to be dead on the floor. So on Purim, Mitoch Simcha, the Jewish people are, you know, out on the floor. Okay, so the same again. I'm not advocating that per se. But he says that's how we're mavatal Haman's Gezerah. Haman wanted us to be down on the floor to never get up again. And we knock ourselves out sometimes pretty good on Purim. Again, some people, I'm not saying you should. Some people do that. And then they get up again. So that way we show Haman that even though you thought we were going to be down and out forever, right? We pick ourselves up again. But again, Rav Hundner said that's, you know, again, Purim's its own universe. You can't take Purim with you. It's a time where we're just mavatal ourselves to Hashem, and then you wake up the next morning, you have to be a person again. You have to go back to your shadlos, you have to do your part. But Purim is a time of bitul hadas, where we say, Hashem, I can't do anything without you. I'm just giving myself over to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I believe that if I throw myself into your lap, then maybe we'll have the gula, maybe, individually, collectively, Klal Yisrael will have what they need. Okay?